Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. You can follow us on radio.com. And also, if you want to follow us on Facebook, we do have a Facebook Live running over at WTIC's Facebook page. And you can chime in there. Let us know where you're listening from. It's kind of cool. And any comments you put on there, we might be able to bring up any questions. Feel free to put them there as well. We'll try to get them on the air as well. So as usual and customary, Bob, we usually do some technology news. You got anything you want to bring up?
Yeah, I got a bunch of them, actually.
All right.
I got a bunch of them, actually. Sorry about that. FCC gets tough on China amid security concerns.
Yeah.
The agency says that all carriers that get U.S. government subsidies and use Chinese telecom equipment must replace their gear.
Right.
So the U.S. Federal Communications Commission on Tuesday ordered broadband and wireless companies in the states to remove all equipment from Chinese manufacturers such as Huawei and ZTE that could pose national security risks. It also affirmed the agency's designation of Huawei as a national security threat, and the agency began a process to revoke China's telecom authorization to operate in the U.S. The moves are all part of a greater effort by the United States government to crack down on China's role in U.S. telecommunications amid worry that equipment or services operated by Chinese companies with close ties to the Chinese government could be used for espionage against Americans.
Yeah.
And so there's more in the article, but...
Did they do anything about dating congressmen?
No, I didn't get anything on that.
No? But, okay.
Yeah.
Just checking. I wasn't sure if that was part of their requirement.
Well, yeah, and they've also allocating $1.6 billion promised in legislation that became law in March in order to pay for the equipment removal and replacement, if you will.
Gotcha.
And so that's all in this article. It's well worth reading.
Yeah, well, it's good news there. I mean, we really should be thinking about this. We spend so much time on security. Right, we're spending a lot of time with our manufacturing clients on security, and just to have the technology then flow through Chinese hardware that could possibly be stealing information seems kind of silly to me. In other news, this is kind of something funny that Bob found that I really like. Intense full face Blanc mask filters the air and hides your identity. So basically, you can kind of look like Daft Punk. They had that faceless robot look a little while back. And basically, it'll cover your face and give you a full air filter so you can be fully COVID safe. And it's creepy. It's almost like a Mandalorian style thing here. And you can actually go ahead and buy one if you're interested. There's a Kickstarter going out there. These are $79 masks. You're completely faceless, so you can walk around in complete privacy. And, of course, completely safe. Oh, believe it or not, they actually have a Mandalorian-style one. So, I mean, you know, we're getting kind of crazy with our masks, so why not put one that looks like you're wearing an egg with a visor through the middle like the Daft Punk guys and keep yourself safe with nice fresh air? I mean, if you're walking in Los Angeles... Maybe it'll make it better anyways.
They come with those replaceable HEPA filters.
Yeah.
So, you know, they keep you safe from the COVID virus as well.
Yeah, and smog. So we'll,
that too.
We'll put a link up there for you to take a look. What do you got? What else you got, Bob?
Okay. Most of you out there may or may not be old enough to remember the Zodiac Killer.
Oh, boy.
Okay. But the Zodiac Killer message, known as Cipher... as the 340 cipher solved after 51 years.
Yeah.
So this guy, without the use of computers, figured out, you know, he was murdered. He murdered at least five people in 1968 and 69. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a message in encryption to the San Francisco Chronicle. It was a letter to the San Francisco Chronicle, and it was encoded.
Right.
And It's been 51 years, and they finally broke the code.
Right.
And this guy didn't have a computer to do it with. So,
right. Yeah.
Then, anyway.
To write it, you mean?
To write it, right.
Yeah.
So it's a three-person team seems to have unraveled a previously unsolved cryptogram from the Zodiac Killer, who killed at least five people in Northern California in 68 and 69.
Yeah.
The coded message, known as 340 Cipher, because it contains 340 characters, was sent in a letter to the San Francisco Chronicle in 69.
Mm-hmm.
It's... Part of it said, I hope you're having lots of fun trying to catch me. Reads parts of the message, according to Dave Oranchek, a member of the team that cracked the cipher. The message also references not being afraid of death, and but doesn't offer up a name or obvious clue as to the identity of the Zodiac Killer. Oranchek on Friday posted a video on YouTube explaining in detail how he and other members of his team, Sam Blake and Jarl Van Eyck, solved the cipher.
Nice.
Their discovery, which was reported earlier by the Chronicle, was sent to the FBI earlier this month. On December 5th, 2020, the FBI received the solution to a cipher properly known as Z340 from a cryptographic researcher and independently verified the decryption,
mm-hmm.
said the FBI in an emailed statement. The cipher was first submitted to the FBI laboratory on November 13th, 1969, but not successfully decrypted.
Until today, until recently.
Yep.
Nice.
So, yeah, 51 years. So that Zodiac Killer was...
Had quite a code.
Well, he was pretty smart, apparently. And
yeah.
he used to taunt with these encrypted letters.
Yeah.
You know, he was taunting the police to come find him. I don't think they ever did.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'll have to Google that during the break.
In other news, Microsoft warns of Androzic malware, and it's basically infecting thousands and thousands of PCs, and it's doing it to insert ads, but it's also doing it to steal your passwords out of Firefox. So we talk about OpenDNS all the time, but what happens here is if you're not using a safe surfing DNS like we've told you, you could inadvertently inject this malware into your system by just surfing away and clicking on an ad. It injects the malware into your computer and then will force you to do the, you know, to kind of head over to these sites, and they get money for your viewing these ads, right? And of course, while they're doing it, they're going to steal some of your Firefox browser credentials, which would give hackers obviously more access to do damage for you. So again, this is a great example as to why you should be using OpenDNS to surf. You can't just be surfing on the internet without any kind of filtration in place, because you're going to end up at some malicious site, and there's thousands of these sites. In this case, they observed that this threat was hitting 30,000 devices every day. That's pretty powerful malware, and very hard to get rid of. And we'll put a link here as far as more information on it. So you might even have it now. Who knows? But please consider using OpenDNS. It's a safer way to surf the internet, and you'll have less chance of having this type of malware hit your system. I also wanted to, before we go to our break here, wanted to bring up that we had the Tab Christmas party last night, the famous Tab Christmas party. 40 of us got together, a little cramped and tight, but we were able to enjoy adult beverages and honor one of our fallen technicians who we lost this year, not due to COVID, but it was tragic nonetheless. And we were able to honor him, Brian Ferguson, and get together as a group and have a Christmas party. And yes, before you call Lamont, it was via Zoom. We're all crammed in our little monitor screens. We weren't physically touching each other.
Nobody got a ticket for driving under the influence.
No, yeah,
because nobody
safe.
Drove.
Nope. Yeah. So it was a great Christmas party that we always have here at Tab, and we were able to, like I said, honor one of our fallen, and also honor some great folks at Tab, and thank the business owner at TJ for being a great boss too. So we're going to step out for a quick break, get to your calls, comments, questions. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. Gary Hoey for you. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Get online for us, and we'll do our best to help you out with those questions. And also, while we're waiting for your calls, I want to remind you, it is the season of the holiday store. It's a virtual holiday store this year, and we've made it very easy for you to give. You got to text WTIC to 41444. And basically, when you do that, you'll get a link, and then you can go ahead and make a contribution. And this year, I mean, we say it every year, that, you know, it's a year that folks are in need, but this year is really, really the case. And you know that already. So if you can help, text WTIC to 41444 to support the Salvation Army and WTIC's holiday store. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Tom in Harwington first. What's going on, Tom?
Good morning, guys. I got a question. Because the Patch Tuesday update, I was looking at my settings to delay it for 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And in the course of doing that, I noticed there's a link to update to 20H2.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of curious. Do you recommend doing that, or should I just stay with the current version I have?
We're a little conservative when it comes to your home stuff, right? For businesses, we're a little different. We're going to try to have them be more up to date for security reasons. But if we can avoid breaking your system today, you know, I mean, we load H2 in our systems, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 But, you know, for your home, I would say if everything's working right now, put it off. Let others be the guinea pigs, because Microsoft has a history of trouble with their updates.
Well, I was reading an article about the updates, and one of the things that Microsoft has figured out is they can figure out an algorithm on the older computers,
yeah,
whether or not they have some sort of a driver or application conflict with the newer update. So what they're doing is some people are not being offered the 20H2 or the 2004 update.
That's smart, finally.
Yeah, so...
That's great.
If you run
Microsoft.
If you run Windows Update and you see you're at 1909,
right,
and you don't see the option for the 2004 or the 20H2 update, then don't look for it.
Yeah.
It'll come.
It'll come eventually. But
when
then
they fix it.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the thing, right? So then they're saying you're not going to be compatible. They're probably like taking a survey of to how many systems may not operate after they do this upgrade.
If you go out and do the Windows Update Assistant and download that, yeah, on that page before you download it, if you scroll down a little bit, it'll tell you all the things that they've found conflicts with. So maybe it's a good idea not to push it.
Right, right.
Well, I've got a 2004 right now. If you want to know the rest of the numbers, I'll tell you.
No, it's okay.
I looked at CNET last night just to get a feel for what this was about, and most of the stuff they mentioned I don't use. You know, a lot of it had to do with the Edge browser.
Yeah.
So I didn't really see any big advantage, but then again, you know, the update's been out for, what, 6 weeks now?
Yeah, that's probably about right. But speaking of the Edge browser, Microsoft pushed me out an update on my computer that I go to Netflix with, yeah, and I was using the Edge browser,
yeah,
figuring that not using Chrome would have less trackability. Well, guess what? They broke it. It won't play Netflix anymore.
Great.
And he's a geek.
Yeah.
So we're all in the same boat when this stuff happens, and that's why we're going to tell you to tread lightly. So it's up to you. I mean, you can update your system and hope all goes well. It looks like you're compatible based on what Bob has said, so it should work. But to your point, I mean, if you're just going to update it for some benefits with Edge, I would tell you to delay.
Okay.
That's just my approach.
All right. That's what I thought, too, but I don't understand this the way you guys do. That's why I wanted to check.
And it's still Windows 10.
Yep.
Just
and it doesn't
flavor.
Work all that great anyway, so I'm kind of hesitant. Every time we have to do these updates, I hold my breath.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah, they rearranged the furniture a little bit more in the H2. I've noticed that when I go to get to certain things, like, you know, to configure my networking, I now have to do more clicks than I used to,
yeah,
to get there. So
always improving, always improving.
Always improving, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, be careful, Tom.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll just avoid it then.
All right. That's not a bad idea. There's no harm, no foul there.
Okay, you guys have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. We're going to go to Jeff in Norfolk next. You there, Jeff?
I am.
What's going on?
Good morning.
Morning.
It's still white here in Norfolk. The ground is covered.
Yeah, you guys are the icebox of the state, right?
We are. Hey, I've got an outbuilding barn, and it's about 300 feet from the house, and
right.
I'd like to get internet or Wi-Fi service out there, and I was wondering about extenders or some way of doing it without having to actually dig and bury cable.
Right. Yeah, we have a good way to do that. Ubiquiti has a great solution. It's a point-to-point wireless bridge. And I can put the link up there. We use it in our business environments often enough. And it works really well. And it's not too expensive either. It's all relative, though. It depends on what you're looking to spend. But I want to say you'll probably spend $400 to $500. But it's a lot less intrusive than digging holes and running pipes and what have you.
Exactly. and you said it's Ubiquiti?
It's Ubiquiti, yeah. Ubiquiti is a good business-grade brand of wireless access point. We'll put a link up there for you on the exact wireless bridge that I'm recommending.
Okay.
That'll do it. Go ahead.
Installation for a non-technical person?
It's not too bad. Just got to read the manual. But you're a non-technical person, right? And, you know, My condensate pump on my HVAC unit at home stopped working.
Yeah.
So, of course, I buy a new one and get it all set up, plug it in, and it doesn't pump. Water's still coming out the top of it, brand new. I'm thinking it's a power issue. I'm banging around trying to figure out what the problem was. Well, of course, if I read the manual, I would have noticed there's a little cardboard thing protecting the float switch. Right, so
guys, I'm big on manuals. So
exactly. I figured I know what I'm doing here. I'm just plugging in a pump. Well, so I go back and read the manual, and lo and behold, hey, buddy, take out the little piece of cardboard. So my point is, anybody can do it if you read the manual. Read the flipping manual, as we say in the IT world. We just use a little more colorful language than that.
I worked in industry. I understand that.
All right.
I appreciate it. Have a happy holidays to all of you.
Yes, you too, sir.
Thank you.
Yep. We'll put a link up there for that wireless bridge. Again, you're not going to use that in most instances, but for his solution, believe it or not, that wireless bridge could go miles. He said he was, 300 feet?
Yeah.
So he could go miles with that thing.
That's an excellent solution.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, in the classes that I teach, we use a factory. Read the factory manual.
Ah, there we go. Close enough.
Yeah.
So as we wait for your calls, feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. I know why you're all not calling, because you're texting text WTIC to 41444 is what you're all doing. So I understand that. So make sure you go and do that and support the Holiday Store and support the Salvation Army. And the money's going to be going to the folks here in Connecticut, right? It's a local thing, which is great. That's what 1080 is all about, is being local. So if you want to know where your money can really do some good, please text WTIC to 41444 and help those in need. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Get online and... we'll be ready to take your calls after the news. Everything we're talking about is posted live by Mike G over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com and over on our Facebook page as well. If you follow Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, we'll be right back. Are back. The lines are wide open. You guys obviously are out there Christmas shopping and doing your thing, which is great, but feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Bob and I braved the frozen fog this morning. Actually, it wasn't that bad. But I woke up this morning. It looked a little scary. I don't know about you. I'm like, oh, great. We got to drive to the hermetically sealed studios here in East Hartford.
I didn't have any fog in my town. Not in Bristol, no.
No, we're right next door in Southington. We're foggy.
Well, you know.
I don't know. Maybe it's
this
just
is New England.
Yeah, that's true.
It can rain in one town and be sunny
in
the next.
That's true. So while we wait for your calls, get online 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll do our best to help you out. I want to bring up this in the news. Another H-1B visa issue. Software contractor accused of favoring foreigners on work visas over Americans agrees to cough up $42,000. The Department of Justice is going after these folks, and they should. Icon Systems in Texas, a Texas company. Come on, guys. What are you doing? Settled a lawsuit that accused it of illegally discriminating against American programmers. So the reason this really, really, really gets under my skin, not just because, you know, we should be hiring American workers first, because you can find some great foreign workers. Don't get me wrong. I have no problem with foreign workers. It's great. But you shouldn't be favoring them. And the only reason they do it is because they can pay them less, right? Under the H-1B visa system, they become kind of indentured servants. And the other thing that really gets me is that I've got kids in college. Now, none of them are going to school for technology. I know you'd think they would, but I kind of let them choose their own paths. But I know how much it costs to educate a person to be in the IT world. You know, 50, 30, 60 grand a year to become a programmer of some kind or any kind of IT worker. And you don't want them? You don't want American IT workers because you can abuse the H-1B visa system and get someone cheaper. That's awful.
Well, we want people in this country to spend $250,000 on their education and then force them to go work at McDonald's serving up burgers.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you take a look at what I saw something on the news that STEM folks in the STEM field, like 25 or 30% of them aren't doing anything in the STEM field. Maybe because we're taking H-1B visa workers from other countries because they're cheaper. Maybe. That shouldn't happen.
Well, they can't find them. They're all too busy working at fast food joints.
In this case, so the way you're supposed to do H-1B visas is you're supposed to post a job, but there's actually consultancies out there, and we played this back many years ago, where there's actually consultancies out there that'll actually help companies hide the jobs from local workers, American workers, so that nobody applies. And then they can say, oh, nobody applied. Let's go find somebody. In this case, Icon Systems posted at least 8 job advertisements that explicitly stated it wanted to recruit foreigners on employment visas, such as H-1B visa holders, rather than U.S. citizens. I mean, they're not even hiding anymore. They're like, we don't want to hire Americans because were more expensive than the H-1B visa technology. This whole H-1B visa thing needs to be fixed. And again, it's great to have foreign talent come in here. We want the best and the brightest from the world to come to America. That's a no-brainer. I want that. But not because you don't want to hire the best and the brightest Americans. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. You understand how all this works, right? You know, we need workers to pay taxes to keep the country going. I mean, I understand you want to get them cheaper. And of course, if the government's going to make this loophole of cheaper H-1B visa workers, I understand there's the desire to do that, but it just seems un-American to me. I don't know.
Well, if they can work remotely from another country.
Yeah. Well, then they're not going to pay any state and local income taxes, are they?
Right. And then they don't have to pay holiday pay. They don't have to pay minimum wage. They don't have to pay for benefits.
No. If you're an H-1B visa worker trying to get out of that country you're in and come to America. So
be careful what you wish for.
Well, there's that. There's that too. But it just seems wrong. And here's another company just messing with it. And I hope the Department of Justice really goes after these folks further. This all started in 2017 under the Protecting U.S. Workers Initiative, and they've been steadily cracking down on companies that abuse visa programs to hire cheap labor and snub skilled citizens who expect a higher, fairer wage. We're paying an arm and a leg to educate our kids, and you don't want them? I mean, it's scary for me. I mean, I got 3 boys that are, you know, going through this process. You've got sons too that are going through this process or just have graduated. Wouldn't it be awful if they hired a foreign worker to do the job because they're cheaper?
Well, that happens all the time, unfortunately.
Yeah. So. And the odd part about it is there's so many people who are borrowing money to put their kids through college using those federal loans, and then the federal government is allowing companies to not hire them.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Just disgusting. All right, let's get to your calls. We've got, it's our resident groupie, Danny. What's going on, Danny?
How about that Starship?
I don't know. So I saw it was leaning inside
No, that's the next one. The next one that's supposed to go up.
Did somebody bump it?
No. Apparently, there was a structural problem with the cradle that it's standing on.
Gotcha.
But because that's from a live camera over on Padre Island.
Yep.
And that was interesting. Good. Thank God the doors weren't open and it didn't fall that way. But
right.
No, the one that the Starship 8 that flew and didn't land properly.
Oh, I wasn't going to bring that up. If the most important aspect of it was the flight, but it did. What do they call it? Instead of blowing up, they call it unexpected disassembly or something.
Unscheduled event.
Unscheduled event. Sure.
No, that was a 99.9% successful flight.
Yes, it was. I mean, obviously, if you're an astronaut, you want the 100%.
Yeah, but that thing was beautiful.
Yes,
the
explosion?
Beautiful, actually.
I watched the video on that, and it was really quite interesting.
Yes.
Because it showed it from takeoff when the rockets fired, and then they shut down each one and kind of hovered there for a while, and that was pretty cool. Then they let it free fall for a while.
But I think that was an accident.
No, that was on purpose.
Oh, was it? Okay.
No, you see, the whole thing, the design of that, and with the flaps, that's so that big clunky body will only reach terminal velocity, and it'll be controllable.
Nice.
That's why it comes in that belly flop thing. I like when it was coming from the belly flop and then it went upright, it was so abrupt it looked like somebody turned a doorknob and it was stuck on the other side of the doorknob. It just like went whoop.
Yeah. No, it's an amazing technology. It's a great time.
So they just didn't fire the retro rockets soon enough to slow it down enough.
What I've been reading is he said they didn't have enough pressure. There was a malfunction. They had low pressure when they fired the engines, so they didn't get enough pressure, enough thrust built up to not crash. And if you look at any of the replays, you see that green flame and the green color. That's not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like when you have a gas stove that's not getting enough oxygen, you get the orangey flame instead of the blue.
Sure.
They got the green flame because they didn't have enough pressure and the mixture wasn't right.
I mean, obviously, being an astronaut, you have to be in peak physical condition, you know, top of the class, smart as a whip. And you think about the space shuttle, and as a regular person, I can envision a glider gliding back down softly to land,
mm-hmm.
right? To have somebody say, well, sorry, there wasn't a pressure, boom, they really better get this right. I mean, you need
well,
to have hundreds of successful.
I just think of all the things that did go right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
I mean, for the first actual, you know, altitude flight.
Yes.
I mean, that was not a hop. I mean, all the concepts worked out, and they know it. You know, his theory is, you know, you build them, you fly them, you crash them, you know what's wrong, and then you correct it, and you fly them, and you build them again, and then you crash them. You keep doing that till they don't crash. I mean, the Falcon crashed 15 times before they had a successful landing.
Right. Yeah. No, I completely agree.
But important thing, the reason I called.
Yes, sir.
You guys are trying to distract me. I got my SD card in.
Yeah. Did it work?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it worked or not. I mean, it shows that it's in there.
Okay.
I got that 59.4 gigabytes on the SD card. But I thought that when I took pictures, they were as my storage increase from my photos,
yeah.
my images, I thought they were automatically going to go to the SD card.
Nothing is automatic.
I ran out of storage on my 32 gigabyte with my regular storage. How do I migrate stuff over from that?
That's
to
a great
the SD
question.
Card?
We're going to have to look it up because it's somewhere in the manual. You probably have to do some sort of setting as far as where your photos go. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head because I've never taken a picture with my Galaxy S2.
Yeah.
But there should be a way within the configurations to choose your storage target. I just couldn't tell you off the top of my head. And Bob is
through, you know, I don't have a lot of different options here, and I click through everything, and it doesn't seem to say anything where you transfer over. And whenever I look on Google for this,
yeah.
it always makes reference to, like, it's one with a modem in it, you know, and I guess those are, you know, the the software, the hardware in it's different, and so it doesn't have the same options.
Is this a Galaxy
S7?
Tab S2.
S2, okay.
So we'll do some Googling during the break for you and try to find an answer for you there, Danny, as far as how
nice
to do it.
It was nice not to hear that negative tone with Mr. Musk in your
voice. Oh, stop
today.
It. I love Musk. I love
I
him. I love the guy. He's tremendous.
He didn't jerk cancer fast enough.
Well, hey, at the rate we're going with, you know, things like this vaccine coming out and the technology that was used is completely different.
He's involved in the vaccines, too. He's making the machines for that company, that German company, CureGen, that's actually printing how can I explain? Look up CureGen, C-U-R-E-G-E-N, and he's partnered with them. He's developed and built the machines that they're using. They're kind of like printing vaccine.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I'm just telling you, it's a great time to be alive. We have a lot more opportunity to continue to stay alive.
I just wish they would have got to this point sooner and I wasn't 74.
I hear you. Yeah, right. I know. You still live during a great time, Danny.
We got a link for you, Danny.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Already?
I'll go on after the show.
Yep. Wow, we're good. All right,
okay,
Danny.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You got it. Bye-bye. Our resident groupie, Danny, an Elon Musk fan. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have four lines wide open for you. Yes, we are here live on a Saturday morning. I know you guys are all out doing your shopping. But if you've ever had a reason or needed to call in, this is a good day to do it, it seems. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. And I don't know. Do we have anybody on the line, Bob? Why don't you check that? This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, and Bob is refreshing our screen. There you guys are.
Thank you.
We just don't know where we stand because Joey is working remotely in the Farmington studios, and we're here in the hermetically sealed studios in East Hartford, and we have an app that we develop so that Joey can tell us who's on the line. So we don't know. In the old days of being in the studio, which was back in just near the end of March or beginning of March when we were back in the studio, we could actually see your calls and I would pick up the calls. Physically, I do the work. Right now, Joey's doing it for me. So I want to thank you guys. Let's get on to your calls. Mark in Plainville next. What's going on, Mark?
Yeah, I had a problem with my computer. I had to bring it in and the tech had to reprogram my operating system.
All right.
And then I had to reinstall my printer. It's an old HP 7515 PhotoSmart.
All right.
And the disk that came with it only operates on Windows 8. I got Windows 10.
So you need to go out to HP's site and find that PhotoSmart printer and download the Windows 10 drivers that are hopefully there for that printer. Now, I shouldn't say they will be. They should be there unless HP is trying to get you to buy a new printer. By not putting them there.
Okay, so there's no worry about any Trojans or any bugs coming through that, any viruses?
No, if you go to a legitimate HP website, and Bob is looking for that for you, we'll try to find the actual link for you. But those sites are completely safe, generally. I mean, yes, they could have an issue if they inadvertently don't realize they've got malware on their site, but that's pretty rare. And Bob already found it for you. So you already found they have Windows 10 drivers for it, Bob?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a normal thing, and we'll put the link up there for you. You can go ahead and get the driver, download it, and it should work with your newly updated Windows 10 system.
Where are you going to put it?
ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. That's where our live links are.
ComputerTalkWithTab.com.
No spaces.
Right.
Is with spelled out, or is that the
amper? Spelled out.
Spelled out? Okay.
Oh, yeah. It'll be there for you.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
You got it, Mark.
Yeah, have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. And that's so people are getting so nervous about malicious sites, which you should be, right? Paranoia in IT, in my opinion, is okay. And I'm getting more and more paranoid as I get older. But generally, vendor sites, if you're going to a true vendor site that you found yourself, as long as it's not a counterfeit site, right? It'd be a malicious counterfeit site that those do exist, by the way. But generally, those types of sites are sent to you in an email where they try to trick you into going to them. It's pretty hard to Google a malicious site so far. But it's good to be cautious. But most sites that are put out there by vendors are legitimate, so you shouldn't worry about it. Let's go on to Claire in Florida next. What's going on, Claire? Are you there?
I am. I'm having a little trouble hearing.
Okay. Is that any better?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
All right. Yeah.
I've had OpenDNS set up on my iPad for a long, long time. And I was listening to you this morning, and I tried the Internet Bad Guys thing.
Yeah.
And it's telling me that it's not set up, but it is set up. So.
Well, it may not be set up right.
I don't know. I've got Comcast, so I have to do it. I can't do it on the router, right? It won't let me do that.
It depends on your router. They might let you do that in the DHCP settings of your router.
Well, it's easier for me just to do it on the device. I don't know if it's been like this for a long time. The new iOS thing came out.
Well, right. So what happens even there maybe is the iOS... It could have replaced your DNS settings on your iPad.
But the settings are there still.
All right. What is your DNS settings that you're using for OpenDNS? Can you see them?
208. You mean that?
Yeah.
208.67.220.220 and 208.67.222.222.
Nice job. So I agree with you. You do have it set up. So the Internet Bad Guys test there may be more for those folks who have actually put in the email piece where you can configure your account to protect you from malicious sites, because you do have the proper DNS settings. So I agree with you, but that test may not give you what you need.
I'm trying to get back to where it was. I didn't think I was getting the right message when I do that internet. It's as if I, if you were using OpenDNS, real phishing sites would be blocked, it says. So that's
the correct message.
It's not using it.
No, that's the correct message. Well, that's the correct message for someone who's not using it, but I
All
think
right,
you
well,
are
that's
in
what
place.
I get.
Yeah, so hang on, Claire. Can you hold over the break? We got to go to news.
Yeah, okay.
All right. We'll put you on hold and get back to Claire and talk about this. It's important. It's a great question, right? I put in the security. How do I know it's working? And the fact that she's checking it is tremendous. So we'll explain it to her after this break. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. Stick around. John and Dale, we'll get to your calls after the news, too.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
And we host a podcast called The Severance Podcast, where we used to break down every episode of the TV show Severance.
Severance isn't back just yet, but the podcast is.
Each week, we'll discuss the movies, TV shows, and ideas that influence the making of Severance.
We're going to talk to the incredible artists who inspire us to do what we do.
The Severance Podcast returns Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.